The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Two Chairs No Waiting, episode number 577, listener feedback number 41. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you the folks over at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Drop by over at Weavers and pick you up some Mayberry coffee or bacon, or maybe it's that time of year you want to start looking at some t-shirts. We got some great t-shirts over at Weavers. The Mayberry Squares t-shirt got all kinds of Mayberry characters on it, but maybe you don't want all the characters and you just want Barney. We got Barney Squares too. Head over to Weavers Department Store and look at all the amazing designs they have. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners just like you. The executive producer of episode number 577 is my buddy David Browning, just because I can. David Browning, thank you, sir, for everything you've done just to get me back into this and get me going. Who am I? I'm Alan Newsome, your host for Two Chairs No Waiting. I also do Floyd the Barber. I'm a tribute artist as Floyd, and we do Mayberry events, you know, when they have them. This is 2020 as I record this, and it's in the spring of 2020, so we're having all kinds of fun with the staying at home and getting to visit with family. It's great. At least the husband or the wife in every family thinks it's wonderful that the other one is home, that they're home all the time with the other one. And then the other person, the husband or the wife, is ready for the other one to go back to work. We've decided that for the guys at work. So hopefully you're the one that's enjoying yourself. And if you're the one that's not enjoying yourself, hopefully this podcast will help you out. So we're going to be doing some listener feedback on this episode. We've got voicemails. We've got written in comments. And we're going to hear from them. And we're also going to head over and hear from Randy Turner for This Week in Mayberry History. So let me see here. I need to get us some good background music from the BW Boys, ladies and gentlemen, because, you know, they're awesome. There we go. Some background music from the VW Boys. Little banjo melody. Thank you, VW Boys. And let's head over and hear some feedback from somebody who wrote in. Let's hear that one first. This one's from CJ Christian. And CJ says, "Hi, Alan. My name is CJ Christian." That's surprising that he would say that, since that was his name. So CJ, thanks for writing. He says, "I live in Tuscumbia, Alabama, and I really enjoyed your part of The Mayberry Effect." Now, stop there. The Mayberry Effect is a documentary that Chris Hudson has done that's going around right now in the film festival world, and hopefully will be released to all of us Mayberry fans in the very near future. But we were lucky enough to be able to go over to the George Lindsay UNA Film Festival in Florence, Alabama, and watch The Mayberry Effect. And so that's what CJ is talking about. So he says, "I really loved your part of The Mayberry Effect. I've been thinking about it since I saw the film yesterday. In the film, you ask what it is that the individual likes about the show, which individuals like. Well, my wife and I watch The Andy Griffith Show twice a day, every day. So I've been thinking and thinking about this, and it led me down an interesting road. I retired early from federal law enforcement." So CJ, thank you very much for your service. "And I've seen some of the absolute worst of humanity. So to me, The Andy Griffith Show represents innocence, which I think the majority of people want in their lives. Because of the realities of the world, they just can't have it. You just can't trust people. So I got to thinking it might be interesting to have a discussion, perhaps on the podcast, about what if you could create such a thing as Mayberry, a place where you could trust people. If you ever find yourself looking for a subject for your podcast, I would absolutely love to discuss this with you. Anyway, love what you're doing, your friend CJ. So CJ, thank you for writing in. And wow, you know, that is sad. You know, when I was growing up, you know, we didn't lock the door at our house. We left. The kids went out in the yard and played. They went through the woods. We lived out in the country, so we played out in the woods all day long, basically. Just the kids out there playing and digging holes in the mud holes, or, you know, in the mud, and making water, you know, come up out of the ground because you dug down so deep, and, you know, playing in the creek and jumping the creek. And we did that all day long out in the woods. We weren't afraid of somebody coming and doing something nefarious to us or anything. And, you know, it is too bad that we don't feel that way anymore, that we feel like we can't let our kids go outside without standing out there and watching them. And maybe that's true, and maybe it's just a fear that we've developed over the years. I mean, I realize things can happen, but you know what? We could have fell down into one of those holes that we was digging, or we could have had a tree fall on us because we was all the time pushing trees over. There's lots of stuff that could have happened to us even back then. So what would it be like if we could just have a little bit of what we used to have? If we could get some of that back, wouldn't that be awesome? And I do believe, as Christian said, that that's a lot of what we think about here as the fans of the Andy Griffith Show. You and I live vicariously through Andy and Barney, wishing that the world was as innocent as it was on that show. And sometimes it is, but a lot of times it's not. But boy, it sure is nice to just escape for that 30 minutes. Or in CJ's place, he's watching it at least twice a day, and many of us do. So maybe an hour, hour and a half of just Mayberry and relaxing and forgetting about the day. Wow. Isn't that nice? All right. So next up, we got this is not really an email. Now, this is from Paul Williams. Paul wrote me because there was an episode, and I don't even remember which episode it was at this point, but we were talking about Perry Mason and the Andy Griffith Show. Now, there are a lot of people on the Perry Mason show that were also on the Andy Griffith Show. You know, so if you watch Perry Mason, you're going to see him. Well, somebody had said, wow, wouldn't it be nice if we could come up with a list of characters and stuff that were on both shows? Well, guess what? Paul did just that. He did a search and was able to figure out that people that were credited on the Andy Griffith Show and on Matlock, and they were sorted by popularity. I'm not going to go over them all because he found 263 people that appeared both on Perry Mason and the Andy Griffith Show. Perry Mason, Matlock, very similar. So Julie Adams, the nurse, Miss Mayberry, Lee Van Cleef, he was in both of them. Lee Van Cleef was he was in the episode with Jerry Van Dyke. You know, when he was there, he was one of the guys in there on the Andy Griffith Show. And surely you know who he is. He was in all kinds of old Westerns. Barbara Eden was in both shows, Perry Mason and the Andy Griffith Show. Joanna Moore, Stanley Adams. Now, Stanley Adams, you may not recognize the name, but you'll know who he is from the Andy Griffith Show. That's Otis's brother. That's him. Stanley Adams. He was also on Perry Mason. Robert Easton. Now, you may not remember him, but he was definitely on the episode with Ellie when she was a desperate female hunter. And his doggone eyelashes are just so long, they kept getting in his eyes. That's him. George Kennedy. George Kennedy was on both. George Kennedy, surely you remember him from Airplane and so many movies. But he was on both. H.G. Armstrong. That's Flint. Old man Flint, you know him from the Andy Griffith Show. He was on Perry Mason. Denver Pyle, Briscoe Darling himself. He was on both shows. And get this, James Best was too. And they just happened to be listed right beside each other. Gavin McLeod, you know, Captain Steubing on Love Boat. He was on both the Andy Griffith Show and on Perry Mason. Now, Jackie Coogan. It says Jackie Coogan was on the Andy Griffith Show. I don't remember that. So you guys are going to have to tell me where that was. But it says Jackie Coogan was on there. So maybe we have to look at that one. I have to look that up. Joyce Jameson was on both. Joyce Jameson, she was one of the fun girls, not Daphne, but Skippy. Oh, Bernie, that one. John Denner, and John was Colonel Harvey. Helen Corby, Rita Lee, William Schaller, Dub Taylor, Francis Bobbier was on both. Folks, the list just continues and continues and continues. 263 people. I will put a link to what he found in the show notes for this episode if you would like to look and see all the people who appeared. Hal Smith was on both, by the way, and Jerry Van Dyke. As I'm scrolling through here, I'm spotting people. Jess White, yeah, he was on both. Now, Jess White, that was the man who was fighting with his wife all the time. Remember them? Yeah, that's them. Anyway, there's a ton of people that were on both shows, and I will put a link in our show notes that'll show you all that. So, Paul, thank you so much for all the hard work of getting that together, because that is an amazing list. 263 people who appeared on both shows. And we'll just have to confirm about Jackie Coogan. I didn't see that one. All right. So next up, let's go hear a voicemail. We'll go hear a voicemail first. So let me turn down the music medley by the VW boys and come back here to our voicemails. We got one from Jeffrey Beck. So Jeffrey, take it away.
Yeah, I was looking at your podcast 571. You're talking about the rain gauge. It's kind of funny, the phone number was 742. I believe that was Juanita Beasley's number, 742R at the Junction Cafe. 742R. You might want to call if you ain't done a trouble check here yet today. Have a good day.
All right. So, Jeffrey, thank you for calling in. And I checked on that. You were so close. You were so close. According to at least a couple of the books, because I went and checked them out and made sure that whether you were right or not. The episode he's talking about is on Andy Forecloses. Now, in that episode, Barney's never seen girl on the side is the way it's listed. Juanita Beasley is introduced in that episode. Now, that was episode number 28 of the Andy Griffith Show. It aired on the 24th of April, May, March, April. And on the 24th of March in 1961, and it says here that she works at Juanita Beasley works as a waitress at the Junction Cafe, and her telephone number is 142R instead of 742R. You're so close, though. I hate to even call you on it. Great ear, great thinking there, but it was 142R. According to both books, because I looked it up in more than one place to try to confirm. I did not watch the episode, however. So you guys correct me if I'm wrong, and Jeffrey's right. So Jeffrey, good ear and good thinking, and whether it was correct or not is still good. It's a trouble check. That's what we're doing, a trouble check. All right, so let's hear another voicemail. And this one's from our buddy Ronnie Felker. Now, Ronnie and his wife Elise do a ministry as Barney and Thelma Lou. So let's hear from Ronnie here.
Oh, Alan, this is Ronnie Felker. I'd just like to send a big thank you out to all the Mayberry family for helping us out in time of need. And that's what the Mayberry family does. They're just a good bunch of people, and lots of luck to you and yours. And hope to see all y'all sometime this year. God bless. Bye.
Thank you, Ronnie. Thank you for taking time to call in. And just now, Ronnie had some problems. He'd had some issues. So there was a lot of people chipped in and did some stuff for him. And that's what he was thanking everybody for. And wow, is that not how it should be in Mayberry, where people do that for each other? Isn't that great? Now, we just heard not long ago from Christian talking about the George Lindsay Film Festival. So let's hear from George Lindsay Jr. himself. Because he's talking about over at the Film Festival and a couple of other things. So let's hear from George.
Hey, Alan. It's old Gubison. Just listen to your podcast. Fun episode to know that that guy ended up as Howard Hessman on WKRP. That's interesting. Talking about the Film Festival. That's going to be fun. You know, I'll be co-hosting the award show with Austin Parsons. I will be there for all those events, and I will definitely be there for the Mayberry meetup. All right. Always good to hear your podcast. Love it. Love it. Love it. Have a Mayberry day. Take care. Judy, Judy, Judy.
Judy, Judy, Judy. Wow. He's good at that, isn't he? He's got talent, that boy. So it was great to see George over at the George Lindsay UNA Film Festival. Of course, it was for his father who started this, the film festival, and he was there and was the MC, the co-MC for the awards banquet, where the Mayberry Effect actually won an award, the Sappo Black Award. It won it. So great job, George, for doing just there. And thank you for being here. And he was referring back to an episode, and I did not look up which one it is. You guys will have to go and look around on twochairsnowaiting.com, where he's talking about Howard Nessman or Howard Hessman. Go and look around. Johnny Fever himself showed up on Andy Griffith Show, and we talked about it on the podcast. So that's what he was talking about. Let's see. That's three voicemails, isn't it? So let's go on back to hearing from some more people who wrote in. I got a comment from Tom Davenport. So Tom wrote in talking about, he said, I watched your Floyd's Barbershop news yesterday. I was on YouTube and it came up in my suggested videos. I really enjoyed it. It came at the right time too, because I needed some cheering up. You did an excellent job. You got Floyd down pat, from his voice to his mannerisms and facial expressions. All those stories were great too. I'm sure everyone who watched the show can identify with them. Maybe we'll finally get to find out what happened in those parts of the paper that were missing. That's right. Floyd is one of the most memorable characters from the show for him, for Tom, he said. One of his best lines is in the convicts episode where he kept calling Barney Al. He said, you better phone him, Al. Yeah, he said that. Barney says, will you stop calling me Al? My grandmother always loved that line. I can't wait to watch your color episode one next. He's talking about the color episode version of Floyd's Barbershop News. Thanks again for bringing a smile to everyone's face during these difficult times. So, folks, that is what I've been trying to do. So this past weekend, I did an episode of Floyd's Barbershop News, and it was in black and white. So Floyd was sitting outside the barbershop reading the newspaper. So that's what he was doing. And you can head over and check it out. And that's it in the background playing the video, where Floyd's watching and looking around. I invite you to go and check it out and just be a part of it. We'll have a link to it in our show notes. And we did it just for the fun and just so you guys would be able to just get a smile. You've been getting a lot of bad news in the news, especially here as we record these. The coronavirus, the COVID-19 is still going around. Everybody's locked up in their house. So Floyd is sitting outside the barbershop and reading the news to everybody from the Mayberry newspapers. And let me just give a shout out to all the people here that listen to this podcast who've been sending in newspaper stories for Floyd's Barbershop News. If you'd like to do that, please do. They can be short, like, you know, 140 characters, like a tweet or something. Don't need a lot, just need something. So if you're watching the Andy Griffith Show in the coming weeks here and you see something and you think of an idea, write down a little newspaper article about it and mail it to me at floyd@imayberry.com, and I'll get it into one of the episodes, because I'm going to keep doing them as long as I keep getting material. They're good. So thank you to everybody that helped me do that. And thank you to Tom for writing in. Let's see. We had one more the write in here, and it was from Ron Blankenship. So Ron wrote in and said, this is interesting. He said, I noticed something while watching an episode the other day. Just thought it was interesting. Andy and Barney seem to show up, their badges seem to show up in different places on their shirts from time to time. In the banjo playing deputy episode, I noticed when Andy took the badge from Jerry, the deputy, Jerry, there was a tab sewn on the shirt with holes. Because if you ever see an actual police uniform, they'll have those kind of shirts. They got got little holes to, that the badge goes through and gets pinned. So he said he saw a shirt that had holes in it for the badge to go through. I don't think I ever saw that on any of the shirts before. And I always thought it was strange that the badges kind of move around on the shirt. And I got to agree with you. I mean, I'd never seen those either. And you're right. Barney's badge especially seemed to move around a lot. I didn't ever notice as much with Andy. And I always thought the badge should, you know, be right above the shirt pocket and right there, you know. So, but I never noticed this either. This is not the Andy Griffith Show, but I was watching Gunsmoke, some of the early seasons when Howard McNear, Floyd, was actually on there. And I noticed that Matt Dillon actually wears his badge just right beside where the buttons that button up the shirt. It's just to the left side of that, about halfway down his body. It's really low. I'd never noticed that. But, you know, you think about it, he always had a vest on. So anyway, I digress because I'm getting off on the Gunsmoke. But, you know, Floyd was on Gunsmoke. He was the original Doc on the radio, and he was appearing on that episode. So that was one of the reasons I was watching it. So. Forgive me. So that was from Emmett. And I think that is the last actual voice or mail I got. But I got a lot of comments that were over on the videos and stuff that have been happening over at on Facebook. So if you guys are over there, you'll see them. There was a comment I made in the episode the other night, the Floyd's Barbershop News, where I was talking about Leon and Mr. Swamp. And I actually said, yeah, Leon, he doesn't talk very much. Yeah, yeah. He must be married. He must be related to Mr. Swamp. You know, and somebody jumped on that and said, I never thought about that. Ronnie Watkins, as a matter of fact, who did it, he said, I never thought about Leon and Mr. Swamp being related. Curious, just curious, he said. You know, and in all honesty, I had never thought about it either until I was doing that episode the other night. And I said it when I was Floyd. That's the first I'd ever thought about. Leon never talked, and neither did Mr. Swamp. So maybe they were related. Something to look into. Or a rumor to start, at least, right? So Ronnie also said, I could use a haircut, but seriously, Alan, thank you for the diversions from this mess. And there's people saying she went wild with allspice, and you made my day. So, folks, I really appreciate all these great comments. Joe said, it's amazing how many different episodes you worked in. I just love it. Very enjoyable, especially nowadays. So there was a lot of comments about this, and I love these. Please keep reading the news, somebody said. That was Jeremy, actually. So, folks, that's what Mayberry's all about, isn't it? Trying to just make people smile and have a good time. So hopefully the Floyd's Barbershop News helped that. Hopefully this podcast helps that. And I know this will help that because this is a rerun now. This is a rerun. I played it before, but this is a voicemail from Emery, and I just have to play it again because, well, you'll hear why.
Hi, Floyd. I love your podcast, and I love the Andy Griffith Show. And my name's Emery. And I'm 5 years old. And goodbye. Bye-bye.
I love that one. I'll probably play that one again before the show's over. I love that email. Thank you, Emery. Every time I hear that, I smile. So thank you so much for calling in. That was on our last episode back in January. But I love Emery. I love him. I don't know Emery, but I love Emery. So thank you. Thank you, Emery. All right, so let's head over now to somebody else I love, our roaming reporter, Randy Turner, for this week in Mayberry history.
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Cooper Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
Jack Lambert was known for playing tough guys, and his appearance in Mayberry was no different when he played Doc, who managed to repeatedly escape from the Mayberry jail when Barney and Gomer were left in charge. Jack was born on April the 13th, 1920, in Yonkers, New York. He attended the Colorado College, where he received commendation for excellence in the English and public speaking. He decided to return to New York to try to make his living as an actor. Jack made his debut on April the 18th, 1940, just 5 days after turning 20, in a small role in the play Heavenly Express, which closed after just 2 weeks and 2 days. He later joked that his excellence in diction in English, which he thought would be of such great use, was not so necessary, as his role as a brakeman on the express train, whose English was not the kind he thought he'd ever employ any time or anywhere. His second role in a play of note, Blind Alley, was more of the same, as he played a gangster. In September of 1941, he returned to Broadway in the play Brother Cain, in yet another similar role, this time playing a muscle and brawn, stubborn and ignorant miner. The play closed after only 19 performances. After his short stint on Broadway, Jack moved to Hollywood and broke into films in 1942. While only 22 years old, as was obvious from the types of roles he had landed in New York plays, Jack had a look that enabled him to play villainous characters from the beginning of his career. His film debut was in an uncredited role in a short titled About Face. Throughout World War II, Jack usually played small and credited parts in the dozen or so films in which he appeared. But after the war ended, he began getting larger roles. While he usually played the heavy, he sometimes did appear in lighter fare, such as the 1946 Judy Garland Western musical, The Harvey Girls. Jack quickly became a common fixture in both Western and crime films, including in 1946's The Killers and 1951's The Enforcer, two film noirs with Humphrey Bogart in the title role of the latter crime drama. In 1952, Jack appeared in the Jimmy Stewart Western, Bend in the River. Like many actors did with the rise of television as a free form of entertainment that displaced going to the movies as often for the American population, Jack began appearing in television series in 1951, playing the same types of roles he had in the movies. He was a familiar face, playing different characters in multiple appearances in series such as Wagon Train and Tales of Wells Fargo. Jack appeared frequently in live television anthology shows and appeared in other series as varied as The Adventures of Ren Tin Tin, Dragnet, Sugarfoot, and Mike Hammer. Jack is best remembered for two roles during this period. In movies, he is likely best remembered as playing Steve Michael, known as The Claw, in the 1947 movie Dick Tracy's Dilemma. In the RKO Dick Tracy films, the series' success turned on the grotesque villains of each installment. Here, Jack's character not only had a metal claw in place of his right hand, he had on makeup, making him look more like a Neanderthal. In television, Jack is best remembered as the recurring character Joshua Walchek, who was sometimes called Joshua McGregor, in the TV Western Riverboat. He had actually appeared in the series earlier as a different character, but was soon brought back to play the first mate of the riverboat, alongside fellow mate Burt Reynolds, who made his television debut in that series. The series lasted only for the 1959-1960 season, and the first half of the following season, but Jack appeared in 23 of the show's 42 episodes. Of course, Jack did not only appear in crime dramas and westerns, sometimes he even visited such bucolic locations as Mayberry, North Carolina. Jack played Doc in The Big House, the final episode of the third season. Doc and his partner, Tiny, played into Barney's feelings of authority and escaped repeatedly, such as by influencing Barney to conduct a shakedown like they do in The Big House. Luckily, Gomer's carelessness with a basket of Christmas light bulbs and the sound of the bulbs breaking on the ground made Doc and Tiny believe they were being fired at with a machine gun. Jack acted in well over 100 films and series over a 28-year career, with his final appearance being in Gunsmoke in 1970. Jack passed away in 2002. Well, that's it for this week. As always, thanks for listening, and remember to take Andy's advice. And I guess in this situation, stay inside and act like somebody.
Thank you, Randy. Wow, thank you for that report. And if you want to make sure you don't miss out on anything that Randy's doing online related to the Andy Griffith Show, send him an email at turnersgrade@gmail.com. turnersgrade@gmail.com. And he'll make sure you don't miss out on any of the Mayberry fun that he's responsible for, like the ambassador program. He has got so much going on, guys. If you're not staying with Randy over there, you are really missing out. We've got the Andy Griffith Show ambassadors program. He's got, you know, his daily bits of stuff. I mean, it's just so much. Send him an email at turnersgrade.com and don't mess out. It's a lot of Mayberry fun. Friends, I hope you have had fun. I hope you in particular had fun. And know you're not alone out there. There are a lot of Mayberry fans, just like you, just like me, that are enjoying this show, and not this show, but the Andy Griffith Show, and enjoying ourselves and just having a great time. I would love to hear from you. You can give me a call at 888-684-8415. Or you can email me at floyd@imayberry.com. If you got ideas for newspaper reports, again, they don't have to be very long, just little short ones would be fine. Send them to me, and we'll try to put them in the next edition of Floyd's Barbershop News. I really like it that you guys are helping me. Woo! All I've got to do is read it. And it's a lot of fun, too, because it's fun to hear your creative ideas coming back toward me. I really do appreciate it, and thank you so much for all you do. Until next time, everybody, have a great Mayberry week, and we'll see you back here on Two Chairs.